Live from the Upstage Cabaret at Triad Stage in Greensboro, this is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Thank you. When we last checked in with Jo Mader, she was 6 years into what she had intended to be a temporary move from New York City to Greensboro. She'd given up her rock star studded life as a radio DJ to take care of her estranged and ailing mother. It seemed like a bad idea to everybody, including Jo, but it turned out to be one of the best decisions she ever made. Her mother passed away in 2006, but Jo is still here, now celebrating a decade in what she used to call Greensboring. But no, central to her decision to stay was dolls. Hundreds and hundreds of dolls with whom she shares her house. Jo Mader's latest book, Opposites Attack, she joins us now. Great to have you back, Jo Mader.
Thank you. Thanks, Frank.
Good to have you here.
It's always great to be here.
Tell us about these dolls.
Well, I was thinking when Preston Lane was up here, I was thinking of Tolstoy said there are two stories. A man goes on a journey and a stranger comes to town. And we certainly know that Tennessee Playboy was a stranger comes to town. Mine felt like a little of both. And I have over 700 of these strangers now, the dolls that my mother collected over four generations of dolls. And I was into dolls as a child. I couldn't help it. They were just foisted on me from the time I was born. And I really loved the dolls, but I went from dolls to ponies to boys. I thought they were weird. I thought it was strange my mother had all these dolls and that they would go as soon as she passed. Well, didn't happen. I couldn't let go of them, and there was always some logical reason for keeping them. And finally, I had to go into therapy, and I consulted an astrologer. I had a shamanic healing. Finally, I was able to let them go by putting them up on the internet in a doll store. So it's like an adoption center. That's what it is. I'm finding homes for the dolls.
I think to better understand this relationship with the dolls, we need to know more about your mom and what it was that brought you back here and your slowly evolving relationship and love affair with Greensboro.
I would say it started with a lot of guilt because it was the family tradition that the daughter took care of mom at home. And it was the only thing she would agree to. I decided I would move down here and buy my first home, somehow move her in. She was in Richmond, and she was a hoarder. I mean, big time. Buried in there were the dolls. I said, we're keeping the dolls. We'll keep the family stuff, but that's it. You know, you have to get rid of the rest of it. And she moved in. She was depressed, and nobody thought it was going to work.
No, well, she was suffering from dementia at the time, but again, hoarder, so she'd already a bit eccentric to begin with.
Yes.
Now sliding into dementia, you're having to leave New York City, which you loved, for
I didn't think I'd be here for very long.
City that you weren't that crazy about. And how did it go at the start of that whole thing?
We fell madly in love. It was amazing. It was just a miracle. They were some of the best years of my life taking care of her.
And then the dolls, and dolls actually go back in your family, right? Because you said four generations, including some doll makers, right?
My grandmother, great-grandmother, and great-aunt were all doll makers and doll costumers.
Mm. And you have one of them here?
Yes, that's Mammy over there. Her head is made out of a coconut, and I remember her in my grandmother's bedroom my whole life. And I didn't know there was a whole family that went with Mammy, but my great-grandmother made that doll, and she was raised by a Mammy on an Arkansas farm, and the two little babies that she's holding represent the twins that Granny lost in her first pregnancy.
Yeah, it's interesting, because this doll is fraught. I mean, we have to tell the story here. This is a Mammy. It appears to be an African-American Mammy with two white babies on her lap.
Are you saying it's not PC?
It's not PC, right? But it's in your family. It's in your family, and it's part of the story.
I see it as folk art that you're never going to see again, and it also has tremendous personal story to it. So I
and there are many of these, right?
Yes, lots of them.
So that's one, and you decided to keep that. And you said that you've got this website, but you're not releasing all the dolls, are you?
I can't put them up all at once. It takes too much time. Each one's like a jigsaw puzzle that I have to research and photograph and create stories about. It's on a collectible site called Ruby Lane, and the shop is Mama Jo's House of Dolls. So little by little, they're all over the world now. From Russia to New Zealand. I just sent one to Chile the other day.
And you're keeping up with these people.
Not all of them. Some people just don't really care. They just want the doll. But other people, they really get into it, and they just love the that it was so loved, the doll, yeah. and that there's a story to it.
Well, what I find interesting is that, Joe, you said you were fully planning to get rid of these dolls. Yeah, Mom, I'll take care of them. Yeah, Mom, I'll take care of them. And in fact, you interviewed your mom and you talked to her and recorded that conversation when she talked to you about the dolls.
That's what you do when you have no one, a human, to talk to, when you're one and only.
How do you feel about them now?
I hope they stay together.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like the tape was just about to run out, and that was the last thing on it, and I went, oh, no. Oh, no. So I have managed to keep them together in 4 photo albums and on a Facebook page. So oh. they're together virtually.
And how many do you... You still have a lot of them, right?
Yeah, I still have like 550 more. little by little. But it's been fun and interesting. It has been.
And talk about the relationship with your mother. First, as you said, falling in love with her. You had been estranged. And then processing the grief after her death.
Yeah, it really was all related to grief because they were an extension of her. And grief is a strange animal. It just takes its time. It's going to go when it's going to go. And there is no set 1 year or whatever. You just have to let it, you just have to ride it out. And people get very funny about their things. Yeah. And just from the comments on the New York Times website and also through mine and Facebook, I mean, people, it struck a nerve, the things that people get attached to.
Is keeping them, I mean, does that make it harder or easier to process the grief? I mean, here's this material, you know, here's this objectification.
It's right? bittersweet, yeah. It is. But I've made a lot of progress. I just say to myself, what's going to happen to them when I go? You know, there's nobody in the family who really wants them, so I need to find homes for them. So that's what I'm, sometimes it's hard. To let them go.
Well, you know the trick. You just start hoarding things, and then someone will come and buy
yeah.
you a house.
Right. I don't have a daughter who's going to have to go through all this stuff.
Well, you brought some of your favorites. We talked about Mammy. By the way, if you're not in the live audience and you have access to any kind of a digital device, you can see these on our website. We have pictures at stateofthings.org, and you can see this doll. And you also, I believe this is Arnold Schwarzenegger, is it not?
Yes, this is him playing Jack Slater from Last Action Hero. And he talks.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I'll be waiting. Piece of cake. Heads up.
And he said this a lot after the Scandal.
Big mistake.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time on The State of Things. Thank you, Arnold. Thanks for coming. Now, when did she like Arnold? Was it a big fan? Was she a big fan of him?
He was sitting on right behind her couch in her house, and I moved him to right by our door, so he was sort of protecting us. And then after the Scandal, I moved him. I just didn't see him the same way anymore.
He doesn't look the least bit repentant either. It's amazing how his expression hasn't changed.
Oh, he even twists like this.
Oh, yeah. That is so not sexy. but I suppose it was meant to be. Do you now have favorites among? I mean, clearly you brought a couple, but are there others that?
Yeah, there are some I've had real attachments to, and I'm going to keep the coconut head dolls and some of the wax dolls that my great aunt made.
And tell us about wax dolls. I mean, I don't know much about that. Are they carved? Are they?
I don't know how you make a wax doll and it doesn't melt over the years, but they have it there. They look like they were made yesterday. Mm-hmm. Pretty amazing.
Well, you also, we can play a game now. Let's do a little doll trivia.
Okay.
You've developed some questions because you're something of an expert on dolls now, right? Did you do research?
I've had to. I've just sort of learned as I've gone along. I never thought I would know anything about dolls.
Well, what are some of the cool things you found out?
Yeah, they're all so different. Here's what's really amazing to me. You can have a mass-produced doll, and yet they don't look the same. They have a distinct face. That's one of the most amazing things to me.
If you're a doll fancier. Because I'm guessing if you showed me 2 Barbies, no? You have to get good, I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's part of being a doll person now.
Do you have to talk yourself out of the thought that maybe you're just going a little wacky?
I just blame it on my DNA. Okay? It's just, I can't help it.
Joe, we should all be blessed with your madness. We should all be blessed with your madness. That is my prayer tonight. That you and Mama Joe's madness will be mine by the end of this week, I hope. So let's do the trivia, but first let's meet our guests and tell us who you are. Sue?
Sue.
All right.
Andreessen.
Thank you. And you are from?
Durham.
Ooh, made the trip.
Elizabeth Rust from Greensboro.
All right, and?
Sally Henley from Greensboro.
Well, Sally, let me start with you. I'm going to ask each of you a question before we get to our trivia contest. Sally, do you have dolls? Did you have a doll collection?
I did grow up collecting dolls as a child. Not as many as Mama Jo, but yes, and they're still at home in my mother's house.
What? So, and do you consider them yours? I mean, you,
yes.
So she can't, like, get rid of them without talking to you, right?
No.
Wow. What's your favorite doll? Is it was it a handmade or commercial or a combination?
I collected Madame Alexander dolls.
Oh, very interesting. All right, we're going to find out more about Madame Alexander in a moment. Yes, please. And do you have a doll collection? Do you
know I had a stuffed animal collection when I was younger.
You still have those? Those are.
I don't have it anymore. No, I don't have it anymore.
God, so we don't have to come.
But I remember my first, you know, when you're a little girl and you have a doll. It was a Ginny doll, and that was very special to me with the little case and everything
by Vogue.
What's a Ginny doll?
Ginny doll was made by Vogue, and it was about 8 inches tall, and some of them, there were bent knee walkers and straight leg walkers, and that's about all I can tell you.
Wow, that's very cool. Okay, Sue, do you have a collection, or did you?
No, but I do have my mother's old, very scary-looking walking doll that's probably 95 years old now and has wooden rocker-bottom feet and composite hands and arms that the fingers are mostly fallen off on, and a wig that replaced her original hair at some point.
Are you the one who bought the wig? Or
no, my mother had that restored at some point, and I just, you know, it's like you said, I can't part with this hideous, awful doll. Her name is Lori.
I know, Joe. See, you said the dolls you thought were creepy, although you didn't say anything about boys and ponies, because really, later on, they all get kind of creepy.
I'm glad you said that. Yeah. Okay.
But it is kind of true I remember my Aunt Rose had a collection of dolls, and they were mostly porcelain, and it was upstairs, and you'd walk upstairs, and it was on a kind of a loft situation where you turn the corner, and they were in a glass case, and it was the scariest thing in the universe.
Well, I think I have no fear of public speaking because I grew up with dolls all around me. I had a live audience there, you know, at all times, so I've never been afraid to speak publicly. I have other fears, but not that one.
Yeah, they've always loved you. That's the good thing about,
yeah,
about your doll audience. All right, on to our trivia, the trivia round. Here we go. You can either hit your buzzer, which we have not provided, or raise your hand, which might be better under the circumstances. Number one, what company was the first, with the first letter U, made a Barbie clone in the 1960s called Wendy? Yes, Sue.
Unita.
Wow, Unita.
That's U-N-E-E-D-A. Like, you need a doll.
You need
Isn't
a doll.
Cute?
What happened to Wendy? Is she still going?
She's still around. In fact, I have a black version of her on the Facebook page profile picture. She's now in Berlin with a much better wardrobe.
Wow.
She's a gorgeous doll.
You know, there was a famous burlesque dancer named I Need a Man. Seriously.
Anita
it
Man?
Was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, very seriously. So it's that theme, apparently, and it was in the 60s. I know, because it was in the Saturday paper all
Wasn't
the time.
There a Unita biscuit?
I was looking for movies to see, that was always on the same page, and it made me curious as a young man. Question number two, once again, raise your hand if you think you know the answer. We talked about this. So what was Madame Alexander's real name? Dun, 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 dun. The whole audience. Dun, dun, da, la, da, 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 da. I'm sorry. Joe, what was Madame Alexander's real name?
Well, she was actually born in Brooklyn in 1895 as Bertha Alexander. She later changed it to the more sophisticated Beatrice. But she grew up in a very poor environment and became one of the foremost female entrepreneurs of the 20th century.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Quite a story of Madame Alexander.
A name change. Okay, well, all right, number three. Here's our final question. What pop icon who came into prominence in the 1970s is a major doll manufacturer today? Pop icon, famous in the 70s, now a major doll manufacturer. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. Well, I would say she first became prominent in the 70s. She's still prominent. Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Da, 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 da. Dun, 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 dun. In for a penny,
yeah,
in for a pound,
I'd say.
I thought
you would get this one. Marie Osmond.
Marie Osmond.
She's a huge doll manufacturer.
I did. What line of dolls?
Her own line. She makes it. She crafts a lot of them herself. Yeah, it's a big business for her.
Well, a big thank you to all of our contestants. Nicely done. Nicely done. Oh, and Joe, I guess you'll each receive a copy of Joe's book.
Yes,
a novel called Opposites Attack, which is interesting. Let's talk just a bit about that. You've written a novel.
Yes, this actually was started 12 years ago, and when I finished it, it was right after 9/11, and there was a big French backlash going on. Remember Freedom Fries instead of French fries, and everyone was boycotting French wine. So I had to let it marinate over the years.
Well, this was set in the south of France.
Yes, set in the south of France. And this young woman goes to a total immersion school in the south of France to learn French and sophistication and win back her ex-boyfriend, but enter the très different, exasperating Jean-Luc, and opposites attract or attack. And that's what it's about. And I actually went to a total immersion school in the south of France. It's inspired by true events. So,
a great name. The name of the school is great, not so much for the name of the school, but for the acronym that it creates. I think it's called the what's
Marley,
the name of the school?
École Française, MEF.
Yeah, but the acronym is ELFGA.
Oh, that was the one it was based on. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The real school was
so,
ELFGA.
So, and you
yeah.
said that the whole impetus for this book was this kind of freakish thing that we do when we find mates who are not like us or think
right.
that's going to work. Yeah?
Right,
tell us more
right.
about that.
Well, when you say, this is what I'm looking for. Yeah, how many times have you heard somebody say, this is what I'm looking for, and then they end up with somebody who's not like that at all? And I thought, how does that happen? There were a lot of different things going on. The baby mama, baby daddy situation. Can you really get over somebody if you never marry because you can't divorce? That was also a theme in the book, and a lot of other things. Just being able to change. Can you really change?
Well, I think we'll have to have you back, Joe, to talk
thank
more
you.
About this book. But thank you so very much. Joe Mader, author of When I Married My Mom, most recently Opposites Attack. You can find out more about her and about Mama Joe's House of Dolls at our website, WUNC.org. Thank you, Joe
thank
Mader.
You,
on the State of Things Today, coming up, we're going to talk with this weekend's Mosaic Festival. Talk about that, celebrating refugee and immigrant communities in Greensboro. And we'll hear more of the music of Ware Ware, who are going to play us out right now. Ware Ware.
Paradise. I go to paradise.
Paradise.
They cry, they run, they pray, they say.
I go to paradise.
When they do it, they're gonna make it.
I go to paradise.
Yeah. What they say now?
To paradise.
Paradise. I go to paradise.
Wanna say
they cry, they say.
I go to paradise.
Gonna yeah, yeah. Knee and they say, and they making a game.
I go to paradise.
Making the same, oh God, please tell me, God.
I go to paradise.
I know I did it. I know I'm making.
I go to paradise.
Paradise.
paradise, paradise.
I got to paradise.
You say, what you say now? What you say now? Hey, what you say now?